All right, everyone. Welcome back. Got another episode of the Authors Unite show. Today we got Bijan with us. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Happy to be here as always.
Awesome, man. Happy to have you here. So can you start us off? Just tell us a little bit more about you and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sort of a mixed blend of human. I'm in creative arts. I have an artist development company and we do songwriting, music production, video production, photography, photo shoots, and event planning, a whole bunch of things kind of entertainment based. But I also have some investment properties and do some real estate and things of that nature. And I love to speak on emotional intelligence and higher learning and motivational topics and things of that nature. So I've done some life coaching through a company called MITT. We're just like kind of being in service and supporting other people to exercise and operate in their dreams.
Nice. Okay. So let's talk about emotional intelligence first. So can you dive a little deeper into that? Like when you say speak on emotional intelligence, what exactly do you mean?
So it's to simplify it, it's basically the study of self and the way that we operate and being able to have control over the way we do things so that we're not operating on automatic. Meaning, you've heard people say before, like if you're dating someone, they're like, "Hey, love me the way I am. This is just the way I am." That's a very common belief system for most people. Just, this is who I am. This is the way I am. And it's never going to change. And so the study of self and in emotional intelligence, it allows you to reframe that belief that you're just the way you are and kind of decide in a moment to moment basis who you want to be based on your like integrity.
Got it. Okay. And when did you like, was there a time when you realized, like, do you feel like you have like a higher EQ than normal, or is it something that you built on for yourself?
I would say I've always like, since I was a young teenager, I've always been very interested in motivation and wanting to like be inspired myself and then also help other people. I come from a place of like care and wanting to provide joy. It's like one of my missions in life is to provide joy for other people. So I've always been sort of the one that to pump people up and, you know, very uninformed motivating people just by my energy. But then, you know, life happened and things happen along the way where you go through these peaks and valleys and ups and downs. And I just happened to meet people who were in an actual space of learning where they're like, great, where there's tools where you can exercise that to create the different things that you want in your life.
Got it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the reason I ask is because I, you know, I think some people have it more naturally. Like I believe myself to be more on the EQ side of things, I suppose.
Okay.
Ever since I was like growing up, like it's like a feeling, you know, like I can just feel other people, I feel like. And also just with just like building relationships, I don't, networking or whatever you want to call it. Those type of things are very natural for me. Whereas, you know, what's foreign to me is some people actually really struggle with that. Like some people it's hard for them to like go to an event and be in a public place. Maybe it's anxiety or other things. And for me, it's hard for me to stay, you know, it's hard for me to be completely alone, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think I'm the same way, except that I didn't have the information on how I was showing up. Like I had an intent to help people and to be exciting and motivating, but a lot of the times I wasn't getting the response that matched my intent. And that was because I didn't have my own awareness of self of how I was being perceived and how people were responding to me. And so I think I'm the same way where I was naturally outgoing and wanting to be, you know, kind of in the room with people. But I think the study allows you to understand how you can affect people and how to be a different human or just not even to be a different human, but how to use tools that will properly assist and aid the people that you want to help, right? Because when you just have, you know, one throw, you're not going to help the most amount of people. You have to have like a fastball. You got to have a curveball. And I think the study of the emotional intelligence helps you realize like who you're speaking to, because some people need motivation like military style where they're like, a drill sergeant. Let's go, get up early, do this thing, structure. And then some people operate in this free flow state where they're more analyzers. They need information. They need care, or they're supporters, and they need to be nurtured in a certain way. So you have to kind of understand who your audience is in order to help them in the best manner.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about when you started off as a celebrity choreographer. How did that all start?
Oh man, it was a cute girl that started that off as all things. Right. But, to give you the real honest truth, I, was sort of a closet nerd when I was young. I was really good at math and science. I went to school to be a doctor, was studying pre-med and, you know, doing organic chemistry and all the sciences, living in Hoboken, New Jersey, close to Manhattan in the city. And I just happened to jump across the river and meet these young, like, kids who were at NYU or at Parsons or Fashion Institute of Technology. And they were just so cool to me because I was studying, you know, math and science at a nerd university similar to MIT. And these kids were out partying on a Tuesday night. And I just kind of loved that vibe of them and just started hanging out with them. And they were, you know, going to dance classes and taking acting classes. And I was just like, cool, I'll come with you guys. And I always loved dancing. I always loved, you know, music and things of that nature, but I was never studied in it. So I went to my first dance class and I was horrendously horrible. and I found out for the first time that there was, you know, an art to art, ironically. And because I was so bad, but loved it so much, I went every week to that same dance class with like professional dancers. One thing led to another, got an agent, and started doing backup dancing. And then I moved quickly to choreography because I still wanted to use my like analytical brain to like put pieces and puzzles together. And that's what the choreographer does. They take the song and they put the movement onto these bodies. And then they work with creative directors to add pyrotechnics and lighting and a band and backup dancers and singers. So my brain really enjoyed all those moving parts. And I just knew that I was going to do it. If I was going to do it, I was going to do it full. I was going to do it all out. I'm really in, or I'm all out. So I got blessed with a bunch of things and started choreographing for a lot of new artists, and then landed some work with Jay-Z, landed some work with Rihanna, wound up doing something for Madonna and some other people, production for Beyonce's projects. And then because I had worked with a bunch of those types of names, I had new artists coming to me to be like, hey, you know, you did X, Y, and Z for this person. I have this other girl who's a great singer. I have this guy who's a great singer. Can you put together a package for them? And that's kind of what I've been doing for the last few years, is artist development for new artists. So how people pay $50,000 a year to go to NYU to become an accountant or a communications major, whatever they end up majoring in, there's nothing like that for recording artists or performers, right? So I'm putting together a package for people, for recording artists, to sign up for this thing and get a set package of 5 songs, 2 music videos, choreographed routine for your live stage show, some press and PR, and you pay your one package price to get this thing, and then you can go off into the world and be who you want to be and show up like you think you are mentally. Because the problem with entertainers is we have this vision of ourselves and we're like, hey, I'm the best singer dancer ever. But when it comes to showing what they have, it's always not, you know, industry standard. And so that's the trouble. So there's no place to go. There's no store to walk in to buy a recording album. If you don't know anyone, you're kind of screwed. So I want to offer that to people. Reach out to us. You can reach me on Instagram at BIJAN, Bijan is music, BIJANIS music. And hit us a DM and just be like, hey, I'm a singer. This is a thing. And I, what's really cool about it for me too, is it removes the shadiness of the music industry. There's a lot of like pretty females that are in the business and they have a tough time because all these producers are like producing in their basement. And it's like, hey, like you want to go on a date and I'll give you a free song. And it's like that uncomfortable space of having to like swallow your pride or flirt with a guy or, you know, and even for the production side too, like, hey, you know, when we get on, we're going to pay you for that song, and both people wind up losing. So it's fair for both parties. The producer, the songwriters get paid, the choreographers get paid, the artist gets exactly what they want, and there's no weirdness in the middle. So I think that it's a really cool thing that we have going on.
Yeah, man, that is freaking awesome. So what are your thoughts? I'm just curious, what are your thoughts overall on college?
In college in general? That's a great question. There's been a few times where I've spoken to parents of like 17-year-old kids, because I used to do like master classes in different cities and go to, you know, schools and teach the art of dance. And when I would see a really special kid in the class, I would go up to the parents and be like, hey, I want to let you know that your kid needs to not go to college. They need to move to Los Angeles when they're 17 or 18. They need to get an agent because your kid is special. I think college is great for people that have a specific idea of what they want to do, or they know they want to be this thing and they need that study for that thing. Cool. Or if they have no clue what they're doing, cool. But if they know they want to do something in the arts, I think that college can be a really expensive waste of time for certain people. I think that higher education is super important for people that are knowing what they want to do, and it's not anything entertainment based. But when it comes to the entertainment world, if you go to school and you major in any type of art and then move to a big city, you're 4 years behind the kids who moved there when they were 17 and they were networking with people who they're going to work with in the future anyway. And I know that's sort of like a maybe that's not a good thing to say, I think that if you know what you want to do and you have access to it, I say go full hard in that, and you can always go to university another time.
Yep. 100%, dude. I won't even go into my whole spiel on it. I think college is pretty almost useless at this point, but I'm curious for songwriting. Now, is there a method or a formula that you have with writing songs? Because you said in the top 40 pop and R&B genres. So, like, what's your process for writing a song?
My process for writing music is whether or not it inspires me to like move or smile or dance. I also really understand people and I understand stories. So what I do is I try to recreate a feeling or a vibe or a sensation of something that I've experienced personally or something that I know. Just recently we wrote a song called Foolish, and it's about a female who's dealing with a guy who is trying to play his game on her. And, he's calling her baby. He's hitting her up late at night. He's doing his thing. And she's going to pretend to be foolish because she already knows what he's up to. And so it's like a really cool flip, you know, kind of like a women empowerment song where she's like, cool, I'm just going to pretend to be foolish in this minute to let you think that you're getting by. Being able to be empathetic to people's stories and to understand, and then be able to just sit down and write outside of yourself for other people. We also have some really great producers, so the music can really drive you. Sometimes you'll get a vision from the sound that's playing. I write both ways. I write for myself, where I'll just write off of nothing. Like, no, there's no music. It just comes to me. Like, I hear the melody in my head and I just kind of formulate the idea of what it means. Or producers will send us tracks and then we'll write to the track specifically. So there's usually two ways of doing it.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You might not be able to, are you able to mention the ones that have hit in the top 40? Or
I'm not going to mention that on here.
I don't know if it's similar to like a book type stuff where it's like, you know, if somebody ghostwrites a book, sometimes they're not allowed to say that they did.
Yeah. It's better not to do it in that way. And to be honest with you, most of the stuff that, I've shared in terms of artist names is through the choreography stuff. We're segueing now into the songwriting and the music production stuff.
Fair enough. That's why I ask.
But it's cool too. And I'll add this to the writing thing of what you were talking about. What's really great is an artist can send us songs that they like. Let's say, you know, there's an artist that wants to be like a Billie Eilish. She's like, hey, I love this vibe. I want to recreate this sound. You know, my team is really good at recreating what people want. So sometimes you'll go to a producer or a writer and there's like, this is it. This is the style. This is the thing. And then the artist is not really feeling it. I don't operate in that way. I'm like, tell me exactly what you want. Send me 5 songs from these 3 artists and we'll give you back something very similar, something very fresh, something that's like top 40 in pop. I'm also like a businessman in the creative world. So I try and do what works. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people that are really artistic and creative say, you know, this is just me. I want to, I want it to be this sound. I want to create a new lane. And I think that's beautiful. Like, if you want to create a new lane and you want to kind of slowly build your way up into something, that's cool. You'll do like the live market. You'll perform at local clubs. It's just not the quickest way to, you know, having a large audience. So for me, I don't operate in that way. I'm like, I want to write top 40 hits. I want to do pop stuff. I want to do cool R&B. That's going to be charting on radio today. And then once we've recouped and made some good money and had some, have a good fan base, then do some more artistic creative stuff on the back end. This is my approach.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And so I'm curious, I'm assuming you moved to West Hollywood because, I mean, that's where all this type of stuff's going on, I suppose, and just California in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, how did you make that, like, leap of faith, I suppose? Or did it feel risky to you or not?
Dude, you used the perfect word, leap of faith, because that's exactly what it is. It's totally scary to leave your comfort zone. It's totally frightening to be like, I'm accustomed to these people, to these places, and this is what I know. This is where I feel safe. And it's only when you get over that desire to be in the mother's nest is when magical things start to happen. So every time I've taken a leap of faith is when I've produced results, is when I've met the right person, when I've garnered success, because I made the universe shift on my behalf. And that's what happens. When you jump, then the world transpires to keep you safe. And nothing really of magnitude happens when you're home or you're in your home base. You get to go out, you get to do the uncomfortable thing, you get to start the new business, you get to make that phone call that you're avoiding. Like, whatever it is that's making you uncomfortable is telling you to speak up.
Yep, I agree with that, man. For me, it's like comedy. Like, I think I'd love to do comedy, and I've done a couple little things here and there, but it scares the living hell out of me.
Okay.
And that's how I know that I should pursue it even more, because like, I like it. So, like, I know that I enjoy it, but it's like the scariest thing ever to me. Is just, you know, like completely bombing on stage.
Yeah, and what's cool about that, right, is like, it's scary to you because it means something to you. It wouldn't be frightening if you didn't care about it. And that's why I'm saying it's a trigger. It's like it's a sign for you to go into that direction, because we wouldn't have fear about anything that we didn't care about, right? So if you really want to do this comedy thing, but you're apprehensive about it, it's because there's something in you that really wants that. It's something in you that really cares about that. So you want it to go well, but you have to take the risk to go. It's not going to go well or bad. It's just not going to happen at all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, life is a fun time. I love life. So, okay, now I want to, I guess we can end it with I want to talk about the life coaching stuff. So can you, and obviously this, you definitely, you know, can't really share names, but if somebody, can you tell us a story of somebody that came to you and like with your, you know, coaching, they were able to go, you know, maybe they were really depressed or maybe they were just really lost or like, can you walk us through like a story of how you took them from where they were and like.
Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite stories ever. I was on a plane I'm bi-coastal between New York and LA. So just for the audience, if anyone wants to reach out, if they're in New York or LA, we have places in both. And I was on a plane from New York to LA, direct flight. And it's about a 5-hour flight. And I was sitting next to this woman, and she needed help with her bag as she was putting it up in the overhead. And I was like, oh, sure, no problem. Let me help you out, and put it in there and sat down. And just because I had helped her with her bag, we just introduced ourselves and had said hello. Anyway, I'll make a really long story short. From the hello, let me help you with your bag, to landing, we talked the entire time. I'm talking a 5-hour conversation that went from, what were you doing in town, to her sharing with me she hasn't spoken to her mom in the last like 2 years or 3 years. And she's going through all of these little like relationship issues and problems. And it was so cool for me because we had this one-on-one time where I was able to literally help her see why she was operating in a certain way, how it was creating a certain result in her life, and how she was becoming a certain type of person because of these results. And it was such a crazy lineage because it all started with her mom, and her mom had this crazy story that I won't share exactly the story, But the mom had a relationship issue. And as a kid, she adopted that idea or belief system that this is how relationships work. And she was having a negative situation in her adult life because of that belief system, which was causing her to have breakdowns in all of these other areas. And once we figured out that the trigger point was the relationship with her mom, I supported her in saying, it's time for you to go back there, go talk to your mom, go heal that pain. And then the other stuff can kind of trickle down. And I remember about maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, she sent me like a 3-minute voice note, just like crying and in joy, telling me that she wanted my mailing address to send me something because she went to her mom's job and surprised her and spoke to her mom for the first time. And now they have a relationship and she's healing the pain of the past. And it was just like, it's too beautiful when you get those stories where people, you know, are open enough and vulnerable enough to allow themselves to be helped and then make changes in their life that allows them to function better, to love better, to give better, to create more finance and receive God's blessing in the world. It's really a magical thing.
Yeah, man. Dude, that's awesome. I mean, I'm glad that worked out. Sometimes I get in like different moods when I go on planes. Sometimes I go on a plane and I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And then other times I go on a plane and I'm like, all right, I'm talking to everybody around me, man. Let's do this thing.
And that's what's so strange about it, because I'm the same. Like, I don't really, like, I'm like, okay, cool, headphones on, I'm watching a movie, I'm eating my food.
Yep.
I zone out. But it was literally, she was placed next to me like universally on purpose, because I've never spoken to anyone for a 5-hour trip. I'm telling you, there was no break. We talked the entire way and went from her having, you know, relationship issues and why she was leaving New York because the guy that she was with was this. And then me just asking the right questions allowed her to kind of peel back this whole onion that was like, so much pain was wrapped in. And she was like, this is why I'm in relationships in this way, is because I feel this. And it all came back from the mom. And it was just so, you know, kind of beautiful to see it transpire. So I love being there for people to assist them and to guide and to help, because a lot of times we know what's going on, but it's like stuck in the subconscious that we can't put our finger on it. So we need help to lift it up and get it out.
Absolutely, man. Well, listen, dude, so two things, right? So if people are interested in that, or what's the best way to connect with you? Because I feel like, you know, you got a few things going on. Like, if it's music related, is it the Instagram?
Yeah. Either way, you can just hit me on the Instagram. I think that's probably the best way, is the Bijan is music. Bijan is music. Bijan is music. And I'm open to whatever. I love helping people. I love providing. So if someone's in a dark place and they need to be inspired and lifted, feel free to reach out. If someone's looking for music, if you know a really dope singer, even if you're not a singer yourself and you know someone, you've heard of someone and you've seen them on your page, send them our way. I'm in a space of open and receiving and would love to create more music and choreography and video and photography. If you're like a model or you need photo shoots, like, we do that as well. And then, of course, like I said, with the emotion intelligence training, and I can recommend places to go to if you're in Los Angeles, or if you want like a personal life coach. I have a bunch of friends who are really magnificent. I think that if you're listening to this podcast, it means that you are in a place of wanting to, you know, better yourself and to be around inspired individuals. So if I can help, you know, with that in any way, I'd love to. You know, Authors Unite is a really dope platform, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, man. Thank you for that too, man. Well, yeah, everybody listening, you heard the man. So, but no, dude, I really do appreciate it. It was a really fun conversation, and thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say that, like, in closing, like, whatever it is that people want to do, whatever it is that's on your heart, take a step forward today. Like, there's nothing that's going to, you know, really hurt you or harm you by going after your dreams or connecting with that person or taking the leap of faith, because at the end of the day, you can never go backwards. It's always going to be an enhancement or just the same way it is. So there's no such thing as a loss. It's just like, you get to take a step forward into something that you really care about, something that you really love, and the opportunity is there. So do it, study it, learn it, get into it, be around some people, be in community also. Like if you want to be a singer, like go start hanging out at live music spots in your city. If you want to be a dancer, start going to the studio, even if you just watch for like 3 weeks straight, just to kind of meet some people at the door, whatever it is you want to do. If you want to be a chef, just, you know, hang out at restaurants and go to a culinary school, or even go to your YMCA and take like the local cooking class. I think that being in community is really important. And so this is a good start. That's why I mentioned the Authors Unite, because it means like the people here are of like mind, and that's how you grow and learn and always be in the space of learning too. Like if you are in any field, always be wanting to get better and learn more things in that field. And I think that joy and happiness is about expansion. So if you can continue to expand yourself, expand your mind, expand your network, expand your religion, expand your faith, I think life will be really beautiful for you.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, man, that last part, that's going to be its own soundbite too, dude. That was epic. That was poetry right there.
Thank you, my brother. I'm blessed. I'm happy to be here, brother. And then we'll talk soon.